There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All righty. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Heading into the weekend. Buck, you got any big plans for the weekend?
Not too big. Just happy as anybody when the weekend hits, right?
I've seen the meme or the gif or whatever you want to call it. It's like going to bed early, hanging out in my room. I'm missing some stuff in here. All my childhood punishments have now become my adulthood goals. I can totally relate to that. Like going to bed at 9, I think, is another one that it says. We talked about that national title game that you and I both didn't see the second half of. What was it? Virginia Tech, Florida State, 99 to 2000 Sugar Bowl.
That's right.
By the way, what are the odds? Okay, for those who didn't hear, randomly, in the middle of a show, the 99 Sugar Bowl gets brought up because we're talking about whatever it was we were talking about. And you didn't get to see the second half.
No.
Because you got sent to bed early.
Yeah.
I did too. Randomly comes up in the middle of a show. So we never got to see Michael Vick running wild against Florida State, Peter Warrick, all those guys, Bobby Bowden in that Sugar Bowl, the second half. Florida State ultimately won. It ended up winning by 17 points. I'm just saying Nebraska might have won that game. But who knows? But Bach and I both missed the second half because both of our parents sent us to bed early. And all these years later, I don't want to say we hold a grudge, but we remember well.
Still haven't forgiven them.
What are the odds that we would both that same game? So anyways, I digress. My point is staycation sometimes sounds like a glorious thing to me. All the things that my parents used to punish me with are the things I now reward myself with now that I'm an adult to this day. Sorry, did you say you had big plans for the weekend or no? I forgot.
No, I don't have too big of plans. I can't really think of any at all, which is great.
We got 6 kids, all play multiple club sports. So we've got 2 daughters who are competing in regionals in track. One is the 100, 200 long jump and the 4x1. And they're trying to make it to nationals. And then my 6th grader, who honestly, I think I told you this maybe on air, didn't train at all, just played soccer. But she runs really fast miles, like 5:24 as a 6th grader. And so at the end of one of her state soccer tournament, we had her do the 400 on a Saturday. The next day, you could do the 800. She didn't qualify in the 400. She came straight from soccer, like borderline exhausted. But qualified in the 800. She's actually had time to train a little bit now. So she's going to try to qualify for nationals. I got a kid who's playing. As we speak right now, my wife is texting me updates. All right, in the 9U, all right, in Omaha, AA state baseball tournament. So we got all sorts of sports and life going on. Loaded show today, as always. You know what you're going to get. Unique insight and brutal honesty. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. You can hear Husker sports, college football, sports in general. All right, Jake, another quote came out from Scott Frost yesterday. Do we address it or not? This, I did not warn you that I have this. I'm sure you've seen it because you're on top of things. I'm going to leave it up to you. Do we address it or not?
I'd say we can address it. Yeah, it's not. I don't think this one was as.
All right.
Something that stirs up Nebraska as much.
We're going to put a shot clock on this because we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. So here we go. People are rooting. This is a Scott Frost quote. Another one that just came out. All right. People are rooting for you, but not all up in your business either. Talking about being at Nebraska versus being at UCF. This is talking about being at UCF. People are rooting for you, but not all up in your business either. Frost said, that's why I enjoyed UCF the first time. The fan base is great. They're going to fill the bounce house, which is their stadium, and be crazy. But you can also live your life aside from it, and that's really comfortable for my family. And that's the end of the quote. What's your initial reaction when you hear this? Again, the shot clock is running, my friend.
I hate to say it, and maybe I don't want to elongate the conversation by sticking up for him for a little bit, but it is, you know, I don't want to get into rumors or any of that, but there were rumors and stuff that going around town that might not be helpful for his family and that sort of stuff. So, you know, from that perspective, I could see maybe that being the case, but you just kind of go back to what he had said before, which is, you know, don't take the wrong job. It's that some jobs are going to fit different people better. And for Scott Frost, that was one thing that he was careful about before he took the UCF job. He didn't take the Colorado State job. That's a job that's been very difficult for a lot of people to go win. So there are different fits and stuff that are going to work. And this is one where if you're at Nebraska, you will be the most, as the head coach, you'll be the most recognizable person in the state. So yeah, if you want to go to the grocery store, you want to do this and that without being recognized, you might be better off doing that in Orlando. It's less of a crazy, you know, college fan base. Though it is a huge campus, and people do love UCF down there, which surprised me when I kind of thought about it, because I thought people would just be Florida State or Miami or Florida fans. But UCF has got a huge, huge fan base. But in any case, yeah. So it's somewhat this one. It's just kind of tied to the rumors, more understandable, I think, than the others.
I think it's a load of crap. I do. And I think it's a load of crap because it's part of the job. It's part of the gig. You can't just accept the check and then just say, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I want the check and I only want this part of the job. It's part of the whole entire job. When we say things on this show, people are allowed to respond. That's part of the job. People are going to respond. People are going to say, hey, you're smart. You're an idiot. This is why. Sometimes they don't say why and they just come at you with feelings and emotions. And that's the thing I don't get crazy about, coming at me with proof, facts, and evidence, not feelings, emotions, and ego. But that's part of the job. If you're going to be a pro athlete, you're going to be talked about on social media. If you're going to make $35+ million a year, like if you come here, you know that that's going to be part of the gig. But it's also like when you're criticized, if you don't do a good job, don't get mad at the person criticizing you. Get better at your job, like whether you're a player, whether you're a coach, whatever it may be. Part of being the head coach in Nebraska is you're going to be the most recognizable face in the entire state. And that was not a surprise to him when he got here. This was not news to him. He knew that before he came here. So don't take the job. Either say, I'm here and I'm glad to be here. Cha-ching. And now I'm going to go try to win some football games. I'm going to be out in public. I understand that this is what it is. Or grow some huevos and say no thanks. One or the other. It's like he gave into the pressure that he felt, apparently, wanted the credit for that, but didn't want to actually do the job, but had no problem cashing the checks. And it's just like, no, when you're a pro athlete or a coach that's highly paid, you're allowed to be criticized on a different level than like somebody who, I don't know, I'm just trying to come up with a random job, like whether you are a plumber or you do lawns or you are a teacher, like, I don't see those people being criticized to the same level or being recognized to the same level. Also, that's not part of their job like it is part of your job. Like if you're going to take the money and you're going to come here and you're going to say, I'm going to take this job, that's part of it, all encompassing. You can't pick and choose or just say no. You know what I mean? Just say no. You can't, if you want to be a great athlete, but you don't want to work hard, being a great athlete probably isn't up your alley. And you can say that as a football coach as well. I don't know. To me, it was like, it rubbed me the wrong way. Like if I say something on this show or any show that I do, and it's wrong and people correct me, that's not on them, that's on me. If I'm an athlete at the university right now and I'm not in the best shape that I can be in and somebody points it out, that's not on the person who pointed it out. That's on you, because that's part of your job, especially now that they're getting paid 6 and 7 figures. Like nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And I understand some people are more private. Some people may not want to be recognized in public. And he knew he was going to be recognized. But I get all that. Then don't take the job. Do what fits what you want to do, what fits your skill set, what is, for lack of a better way of putting it, right up your alley. Don't take something, accept the money, and then say, it wasn't my fault. It's everybody else's fault, and just have absolutely no self-awareness. I mean, at some point, and we're going to move on. The shot clock expired, and I talked way longer than I meant to. At some point, does he like look in the mirror and say, I have one winning season as a head coach? One magical season. One magical season. What is it? Four losing seasons? So his first year at UCF technically was a losing season because they were 6-6, lost the bowl game, 6-7. Comes to Nebraska, has multiple losing seasons. Like at some point, do you look in the mirror and say,
You would think so. I mean, I do. I think the totality of this is what's frustrating is to your point. Like even this one's not as frustrating to me. Like I said, you know, Caleb Williams said a similar thing when he transferred from Norman, Oklahoma to Los Angeles. Said I like being able to walk around Los Angeles, not be, you know, swarmed or whatever. Understandable. Different markets, different, you know, levels of stars, whatever. But I think the frustrating thing to your point is, you know, anything that he's complaining about now or kind of looking back at now, it's because of his bad tenure here that he looks back and starts counting up these things that are problems with Nebraska. But he knew about all of them coming in, right? And they're not necessarily problems. Again, they're fits. Some people would love the attention or, you know, whatever. You don't want to say love the attention. But like Matt Rhule does a good job of using that attention to heighten Lincoln. You know, to do whenever he gets any sort of opportunity. I've heard anybody run into Matt Rhule and say, yeah, he just blew by me. And like, I just think it's frustrating to go back on this and look at what he's kind of detracting from Nebraska when he, of all people, knew. And that's the very reason a lot of us thought it was going to work is because he knew what worked at Nebraska. And then we kind of overlooked some things. Like he knew what kind of mentality works at Nebraska, but he's going to bring in a completely different offense. Okay, let's kind of see, you know, okay, so we kind of looked over those things. How much, even though he was a Nebraska quarterback and you know, Farmwood River and all that stuff, how much does he really relate to your everyday Nebraskan or the Nebraska fan base? I'm not sure it's all that much, especially now.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm not going to divulge names. I got some messages from some folks at Wood River. They're like, you need to share this on air. I'm not going to share what they shared with me. I didn't verify it. Also, even if it was, like, we're getting way into there's people who play with him in high school who are not his fan. I'll put it that way at all. And to the extent where they sent me messages that takes like 5 minutes to read. And I'm just like, okay. So I think with Frost, because you could argue like if Riley came in, and I'm just using Riley as an example, okay? If another coach comes in and they're caught off guard by the attention that Nebraska gets and, oh, I can't go anywhere because you are the most recognizable face in the entire state of Nebraska, you could almost say, okay, I get it. Maybe you should have prepped and learned about the job before you took and accepted the job. But if you just didn't know and now you're surprised, that might be one thing. I'd still say educate yourself first. Don't show up and be surprised. Like, learn about the job before you accept it. He knew everything. He knew everything down to the nth degree, to the teeny tiniest little detail of what it was going to be like. And he still took the job. And now he complains about it later after it didn't go well. And I remember saying at the time, like, and it wasn't just me, the way I phrased it, because everyone's like, this is the perfect guy. Like, all the coaches he had learned under, from Osborne to Kelly, and there's a whole list, all the different, you know, he had the success at UCF. He's a Nebraska guy. He understands what it takes. He understands Nebraska. He understands Husker football, old school, blue collar, in your face, smash mouth football. And then he had that no huddle offense, and they snapped the ball every 18 seconds in Oregon and every 23 seconds, slightly slower when he was a head coach at UCF. By the way, where was that when he was here? I feel like he never brought that with him. He ran it, I think, one game against Penn State when Luke McCaffrey started. And that's all, like, I remember afterwards talking about it, like, where's that been? And then when Luke wasn't the quarterback anymore, it didn't come back. I was like, what? You didn't even bring Scott Frost's offense with you, Scott Frost. But I think it was almost, because I said he was, out of 7 billion people on the face of planet Earth at that time, I said he's probably the best candidate out of 7 billion people. I never said he was the only guy that could have success here. I never thought that. But I said he was the best candidate. I could have been inversely wrong. He could have been, oh, not the worst candidate, but he, like, there's some people who don't know anything about football that, you know, that sure, they would be worse candidates. But within the reasonable realm of candidates, he might have been the worst one, because I think the day he walked through the door, I'm just going to say, he had grudges that he hadn't let go of from 25 years earlier. And he carried that around with him each and every day. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And because of that, he may have been the exact wrong candidate, if that makes any sense to anybody. And again, shot clock expired. All right. Somebody did point this out to me. They said, remember, Adam, he went to Stanford first, and when he couldn't make it there, then came here. And I was like, oh, now he comes here, can't hack it as a coach, and goes to UCF. I was like, wow, that's a very strong, valid point. I had it written down here. I was debating whether I was going to point that out, and I did. But I don't know. You got any final thoughts before we move on? Is there anything from the text line there, Jake, before we move on?
I mean, I just think the whole thing is fascinating. Nick kind of has brought this up, is kind of taking Nebraska out of it and looking at it as just any story of a returning national champion quarterback coming back to save the program. And that's what it was. I mean, I don't want to say part of it's on us, but it's just the situation all played out. So that not only, like, I remember asking people, because I always kind of said, I was like, okay, if he can even get you back to a Bo Pelini level, that's a step in the right direction. But when I ask around town, what do people want? They want him to be the next Tom Osborne. They didn't want him to be the next Bo Pelini. And so it was, the level of expectation and the excitement around the Frost hire is crazy compared to, I think, just the fanfare and that, and the hype and all that excitement compared to what Frost was going through himself. Because when you, like you said, grudges and just, you know, these things that he didn't like about Nebraska that he was not adapting to. And so when they started, you know, we all know about the Akron thunderstorm. Okay, that didn't go right. But when you start 0-6 and you start to get down this like path of where the snowball would just keep kind of going down, if you don't believe, like if you didn't want to take this job and then you're 0-6 and things are looking the wrong way, then you're kind of finding reasons and pouting as to why it's not going well, as opposed to, you know, feeling like, you know, like any head coach should in year one, right, where you can turn it around. So I think things started, the snowball effect, right? I think things started to go more downhill than even what we recognized at the time, because now we're seeing what Frost's outlook on was the whole time.
So I trust Michael Severe, because I remember, I think it was just after he'd been let go, because I saw a clip randomly of it come up again. He talked about how assistant coaches were going to the AD being like, he's late to practice every day. He's not showing up to this. He's not showing up to that. And I trust Michael Severe, so I don't doubt he's telling the truth. As soon as I heard that, whenever that was 5-6 years ago, I was like trying to envision myself as a player and my head coach not being there or showing up late day in and day out so bad that the assistant coaches have to try to go to the AD to get a fix. And I was like, I can't fathom that. You got Tom Coughlin, who's like, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're getting fined in the NFL. And then you got someone who hadn't let go of grudges from 25 years earlier. And it just built and built and built to the point where he clearly was just like, I'm checked out. Now the checks are still checking in, but I'm checking out. I will say this, and we do need to move on, but I had zero intention of talking about Scott Frost today until I saw that other quote. I will say this, because I fell into this too, so I accept responsibility for this. Dubbing him like, and I never used the word savior, but I had that expectation, the next Tom Osborne, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And I fell into that too. So that's on me too. Anybody else who fell into that, I'm sure can relate. I will say this. I feel like we've done that again to a degree with Dylan Raiola.
Interesting.
I do. When people last year, about the second half of the season, when he started to struggle, and Holgorsen even mentioned, hey, he hit a freshman wall. I don't know if he said rookie or freshman, but basically a first-year wall. I would have people being like, he was a five-star. He should be doing better. And I'm sitting here saying, he's still a teenager. On this show, you heard me. He's still a teenager. He's still a true freshman. Like, I stuck up for him. But there's still this aspect of, we've kind of transitioned, is this our new savior? And it makes me nervous, because are we doing it again to a degree, this time just with an actual current player? When he goes around and he does all these appearances, I've said a million times, am I a fan of that? No, I'm not. It depends on the intention. If it's to high tide raises all ships and bring up everything in the state of Nebraska sports-wise, that's awesome. If it's because I love going around and being a celebrity, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I don't hate it as long as you win. I've said, as long as you win, I'm fine with it. I don't see anything negative out of it, but what's the intention behind it? But here's what matters is if you win, I just get nervous that we might be doing it with Dylan Raiola to just a degree. That's why I've never said first round pick, All-American, Heisman, any of that. I've put it off a year. I have just said, just be something all Big Ten. I even said honorable mention all Big Ten. You don't have to be first, second, or third team. This year, just be honorable mention because now you are an experienced quarterback. Now you're the most experienced true freshman quarterback in the country. You've thrown more passes. You've played more snaps. You've got a brand new offensive coordinator that you have some experience with from a year ago, but they have curtailed a lot of things around him and set him up for success. But unlike what I did with Scott Frost, I'm not making the gigantic leap to, I want this now. It's the staircase of success, and let's take it one step after another, and the next step for him is a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. The next step for him is, 67% completion percentage. But when he was playing well, he was in the 70 to 72%. The last three games with Holgorsen in the first six games, he was over 70%. It was kind of that third quarter of the season where he really struggled from Indiana and a couple of teams that we played after that. I think UCLA was in there as well. And so that's what I'm looking for. I don't want to project this guy's the savior because he's uber talented, a five-star, and has first-round talent written all over him. No. Let's take a different approach than we did with Frost. Let's do the staircase of success, and let's see a gradual improvement. In a year from now, I might sing an entirely different song, but that's how I'm looking at it right now. Does that make sense to you? What do we have off the text line, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few comments on Frost, as there usually are. 7826 says, when he came in and said we were going to make the Big Ten adjust to us, I knew it was no good.
Dude, so, okay. That's a fair point. At the time, everybody loved it. I loved it. The confidence, the brashness. Finally, we will be good again. All that stuff. You know, we're going to go to the next level. And you got to keep in mind, we weren't as far removed from a 9-win season as we are now. So the next step on the staircase of success at that point in time was getting back to winning 8, 9, 10 games. It wasn't just trying to get to 8 wins like I've talked about this year. So it was very different at that point in time. Still to this day, I don't know that I hate that comment. I still don't know that I do. I don't like it as much now with hindsight being 2020, which is easy to say. But I do think that added to the level of expectation as well. I've talked about it this year with Matt Rhule. He keeps talking about the year three jump. And the reason I'm not a fan of it is because I keep thinking of Scott Frost and his press conferences and how he hurt himself. I'm not saying Matt Rhule's doing the same thing. I'm saying I see similarities, but I hope there's a different outcome. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I remember back to his year two. I mean, I was all building up for year two under Scott Frost, and then year two came and went. And it was, you know, it never took off.
All right. Do we talk about this in segment two? I didn't even have this planned at all. I'm scrolling through, and I'm like, oh, there's that quote that came out yesterday. All right, we'll put a shot clock on it and be done. You want to do it in segment two or move on? Your call, Jake. Or should we leave it up to the texter?
Let's leave it up to the texter.
All right, let us know. Segment two is completely up to the people. Text in. What's that number?
402-464-5685.
You can just simply say yes or no. We will do democratically the majority rules what we do with segment two. We can go on with the show as previously planned, which we're actually a little bit behind on topics, but that's okay. The show is always loaded. Or we can do what the people want if you want to go with Scott Frost. Let us know. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.